Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is CPSM API requests, hangs, and timeouts. Today's presenters are Shayla Robinson, Byron Baldwin, and Andre Clark. Shayla Robinson is a CPSM Level 2 support specialist in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Shayla joined IBM in 1997 as a KICS Level 2 specialist after earning a BS in computer science with a mathematics minor from Fayetteville State University in Fayetteville, North Carolina. She also earned an MS in information system from Aspen University in Denver, Colorado. Shayla provides information and technical support for CPSM in addition to KICS and KICS tools running on ZOS and ZVSE operating systems. Byron Baldwin is an IBM advisory software engineer who works for KICS CPSM and KICS Tools ZOS Level 2 support in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Byron joined IBM in 1998 after earning a BS in computer science with a minor in mathematics from Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. He is currently responsible for providing technical support for IBM's worldwide customer base for the KICS CPSM KICS Tools products, which run on the ZOS and VSE operating systems. Andre Clark is a KICS Level 2 support specialist in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Andre joined IBM in 2006 after earning a BS in computer and information systems from North Carolina Central University. He has been working in KICS Level 2 since 2008, and prior to working in Level 2, he worked in ZOS system programming and in AIX support. He is currently responsible for providing technical support for KICS Transaction Server in addition to KICS tools such as KICS Explorer, KICS Interdependency Analyzer, and KICS Dynamic Scripting. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Byron Baldwin. Byron, you may begin.
Thanks, David. Good morning. During today's session, CPSM API requests, hangs, and timeouts, we will cover user request processing from single system image and timeout processing perspectives. In dealing with the aforementioned user requests, we are aware there are a number of possible problems which can occur. We discussed two of the possible problems which may arise in your system. The plan is to supply a trace scenario to provide some debugging assistance of these timeout and hang issues. We will summarize the session and conclude with a question and answer portion of the presentation. Thanks for attending, and let's get started. Please go to slide 4. A MAL is a method or message argument list. It consists of a two-part parameter list which identifies the method being executed. The MAL prefix defines where the method will be executed, while the MAL proper defines the method to run. Please proceed to slide 5. When shipping the MAL, communications builds a request list element, which points to the MAL prefix. There are two types of response list elements that are built based on the location where the MAL is being shipped. You will see the MAL RL when it's being shipped to a CMAS and the MAS RL when shipped to a MAS. Please note the MAL prefix has a pointer to the MAL proper as well as the transport services block. The TSP block contains the timeout limit and a start time of the specific request. Please continue to slide 6. Above is a sample view of the control blocks. The MAS RL has a pointer to the MAL prefix at offset 8. The MAL prefix points to the MAL proper at offset 4, and it points to the TSP block at offset 34. Please note, at offset 10, into this control block, points to the target context and scope where the MAL is going to be shipped. In the MAL proper, at offset 18 is debug text. For this specific example, it shows an inquired task has been issued. An offset 18 into the TSP block points to the timestamp, which represents the time the mal was created. On to slide 7, please. There are a number of ways in which a user request can be initiated. The first option is via RTA, or real-time analysis. The next option is via the CPSM API program, in which the request would be performed via a KIX or a non-KIX application. The next two ways are the WUI CPSM API program and the CMCI CPSM API program, of which both are required to be CICS applications. You also have the ability to use the KIX Explorer to originate a user request. When using the Explorer tool, you can use the WUI, CMCI, or the CPSM API programs for that request. On to page 8. We're going to take a quick look at how an RTA request is processed. When an RTA definition is installed, the evaluation definition is delivered to the origin CMAS. For MRM requests, the CMAS in which the MAS connects to is the origin CMAS. For APM requests, the analysis point CMAS is the origin CMAS as specified in the EYU DREP. The eval def is turned into a mal. When the eval def interval is reached, a PEAD transaction is started to handle the eval defs. It then retrieves the mal for the eval def and delivers it for SSI processing. When the mal has completed, the status of the eval def is set, and the next eval def is processed for its specific time interval and scope. Slide 9, please. API requests, which we will focus more during the debugging portion of this presentation, can be submitted via batch program, either the WUI or KIX Explorer. Please note that the request run under the XDNR task. On to page or slide 10, please. Note, the local MAS program runs under different designated KIX tasks depending upon how the request was initiated. If the request was started via the WUI, it will run under transaction COVA, and if it's started via CMCI SMSS, the request will run under transaction CWWU. Be aware, XDNA calls XDNR task to the connected CMAS to route the command descriptor to the proper method. Please proceed to slide 11. The program runs under the MVS TCB in address space specified by the user. Command triggers call EYU9ABSI, which calls ABM0 to analyze the request. ABM0 in turn builds the command descriptor and calls the specific processor. The processor then calls ABMI0, who calls ABMI4 to post long-running transaction XDNE in the CMAS to which the call, the connected program, and waits for the results. XDNE starts XDNR task in the connected CMAS to perform SSI processing. On to slide 12, please. XDNR started in the origin CMAS. It will call a command processor, which causes the request to go to a table. Different commands call for different command processors. So let us take a look at XDP1, which corresponds with the git command. After validating the parameters, if it was passed, it will need to build the mal. It will call MOMB to build the mal, XLML to inquire on the mal, and MOM2 to complete the mal. MOMB and MOM2 are manage object services methods that build mals for API requests. After looking in MOSD to build the table, the address of the mal is passed back to XDP1. Slide 13, please. After the address of the mal is passed back to XDP1, it then calls MOMS to send the mals. XLSI is then called to oversee the mal execution, which in turn calls XLSR to replicate the mal for the target. TMRL is called for topology lookup and copies the mal for each target. Finally, after this step, we return to XLSI. Slide 14, please. After returning to XLSI, we then call XLSD to deliver the mal to each target. For connected CMASs, XLSD will call CAMS to send the mal to other CMASs, where the receiving CMAS will do local SSI processing. For directly connected masses, XLSD will call CRCK for security, then call CAMM to send the mal to directly connected masses. If it is running locally in the mass itself, XLSD will call CLTR to deliver the mal locally. After the mal has been sent, XSWX will be called to wait for the CMAS and MAS mals to complete. Once it is posted, the mal will be returned to its caller, XLSI. Slide 15, please. Still in the origin CMAS, control returns to XLSI and then is passed to XDP1, who then returns to XDNR, who awakens the waiter. Within the local mass program, it calls CAMM to ship an XDNP request to the mass. XDNP then posts while waiting for XDE1. All other programs post waiting on AMB4, which return to ABI0. Slide 16, please. Here we begin to take a look at the execution in the sibling CMAS during SSI processing. This CMAS receives the mal from the origin CMAS. After receiving the mal, the CMAS to CMAS timeout element is created and a local inbound malRL is built. The XLST task is then started and calls XLSI for processing. As XLSI is running, the malRL is updated with the XLST task number. XLSI calls XLSR to replicate locally only for each target. It calls XLSD to deliver the mal locally only, and a CMAS to MAS timeout element is created for each delivery. XSWX is called to wait for mass mouths to complete. When XLSI is posted, it consolidates completed mouths and performs table conversion. XLST is then invoked, and it calls CAMR to return the results to the origin CMAS. Slide 17, please. When a mouse is received from the connected CMAS, communications determines where to run it, and long-running tasks, CONL and CONA, depending upon where the mass ALTRT is set to, is usually posted. Occasionally, a transient task is started via EYU9XLOP method. Those tasks would be COIR, COIE, and COHT. COIR is started for RTA if eval def states separate task equals yes. COIE is started for requests that may result in waits, and COHT is started for HTAS requests. The request is processed through KICS, API, SPI commands. The request will fill a record queue for GET or refresh requests and set the completion status in the MAL or the name list. The results of the requests are passed to the connected CMAS through CAMR call by either the NLRT or the EYU9XLOP methods. Now that we've completed the discussion about SSI processing, we will begin discussing a couple of known problems and scenarios that you may run into when attempting to process CPSM API requests. At this point, I will turn it over to Andre to discuss the known issues. Slide 19, please.
The first problem that can occur has to do with requesting too much data, but there are a couple of ways to avoid this. The first is to require the use of WUI filters before requesting data. At the server level, you can specify a global pre-filter yes in the EYU WUI PARM. At the user group level, you can use the user group editor force filter confirmation. The second way is to prohibit the use of the WUI automatic refresh option, and this is done by starting the WUI with the parameter auto refresh set to no. The third way is to eliminate the collection of tasks queued for max task and tran class by specifying a task or task RMI include queued no. This is available for eval defs as well. The fourth way is to use the record warning counts. We have the WUI, CMCI, and API record warning counts. For the WUI record warning count, this only supports tables that have corresponding CRES tables. For CMCI and API record warning counts, this is for MAS operation tables only, including ones without corresponding CRES tables. This is set via the WUI default warn count, EYU WUI PARM, and cannot be overridden. For API warn accounts, this works at the program's discretion. The program can issue a GET test request, which returns a count. The program can then determine whether to issue a real GET request. It can use filters and limit the scope, but this is probably only useful for interactive API programs. Slide 20, please. To avoid problems where the long-running task has hung on a previous API or SPI command, sites can allow for up to five CONA tasks to handle API or RTA tasks in a MAS. If activated, the CONL task will no longer be used to handle these requests. Instead, CTEX will direct these requests to a CONA task, which will only handle these requests. Additionally, if the current CONA task in use has been busy for more than a site-determined amount of time, CTEX will have the ability to select another CONA task. To activate this feature, use the MAS ALR TRT EYU PARMs. This sets the number of CONA tasks to be started when the MAS initializes. If it is set to zero, the CONL task will be used to process all API or RTA requests. The MAS, ALT, LRT, PR, PRI is used to set the priority of CONA tasks. The MAS, ALT, LRT, TIM is used to set the maximum time in seconds that a CONA task can be busy before subsequent requests are sent to a different CONA task. When the MAS is shut down, usage messages will be written to the job log. You can use these statistics to determine if you need to increase or decrease the number of CONA tasks. Please remember that it is the MAS that is set up as a target region for a CPSM workload manager activating the alternate MAS LRT and will increase the standing task count and have an effect on route selection. Slide 21, please. A MAS is determined to be non-responsive when either it has not processed the request in the past 60 seconds or it has not returned the request in the past 60 seconds. When this is determined, a message is written to the CMAS job log that the MAS connects to. In addition, an exception trace entry is written with a debug text NR underscore MAS and a trace point ID of 39. Slide 22, please. Timeout processing is only performed in the CMAS. It is managed by the CSLT task, which wakes up every 5 minutes and runs through each MAL RL and MAS RL element. It will time out any request that has exceeded the time limit and writes an exception trace entry with a timeout debug text. In addition, if a task was associated with that request, the task will be posted with an error of force purge. If there is not a task associated with the request will be marked completed but with error codes. Slide 23, please. The original incoming MAL does not have a MAL RL or MAS RL associated with it, so it is never timed out. It will wait for all shipped MALs to join MASs and any sibling CMASs to complete. Since these do not have a MAL RL or MAS RL element associated with them, they can be timed out. Since these do have a MAL RL or MAS RL element associated with it, these can be timed out. In the origin CMAS, the original MAL is completed when the ship MALs have either completed normally or been timed out. Any MAL that runs in the originating CMAS only in the originating CMAS only cannot be timed out. Slide 24, please. The default timeout values are better suited for internal processes. The minimum default time is 4 minutes. The max value varies. It is normally between 4 to 9 minutes, where the default timeout value is 4 minutes, and the default polling interval is 5 minutes. Additional time can be added if a sibling CMAS is not responding. For directly connected CMASs, 12 to 17 minutes can be added. For CMASs connected indirectly, an additional 8 minutes is added for each indirect path. There are three EYU PARMs that allow you to control the timeout value in polling time. Two batch requests is used to timeout, is used control time out of RTA and API requests that are not issued from a MAS. Tune line requests to control timeout of WUI requests and API requests that are issued from a MAS. And two poll interval to specify the polling interval to use for timed out requests. When the two parameters are not used, we use the default polling interval and the default timeout value. If the request is shipped to another CMAS, then we double the timeout value for each CMAS it must be shipped through, and then add the default value again. If you use the two EYU PARMs, then we do not double or add the default value. Slide 25, please. When using the two request PARMs, be sure to set realistic values for them. You should test the worst-case scenario and use the kernel level 30 trace to measure them. The timeout values are dependent on the parameters in the origin CMAS. The value is shipped with the MAL to the sibling CMASs. Therefore, it allows different CMASs to have different timeout times. The polling time is set when the CMAS is initialized. This value does not get shipped with the MAL. So each CMAS should specify the same two-poll interval value. If you set the polling time less than the lower two-rec parameter value, it will help ensure that the origin CMAS does not time out any sibling CMAS before that sibling CMAS times out its connected MASs. Slide 26, please. Here I will turn the presentation over to Shayla, where we will discuss the next section, which is debugging tips.
Thank you, Andre. All right, now we're going to take a look at some of the things that are useful when it comes to debugging or shooting API-related problems. Slide 27, please. First, you can use two interactive debugging transactions, the first being COD0, which is the method-level debugging transaction which provides access to CPSM objects, methods, MALs, and outstanding requests. This transaction provides several functions, such as the list tasks option, which allows you to display CPSM tasks within that region and shows the method flow for each task, the list com option to display any outstanding MALs, trace on reset or trace off stop option, which will allow you to start and stop aux trace within that region, the capture option, which will print out API requests. If you want to request a dump via the COD0 transaction, you can use the start XZSD option. And if you want to determine the path between two CMASs, there's a start CPLC option that you can use as well. The CODB transaction is the system-level debugging transaction, which provides access to address space and data space storage, things such as major control blocks and data queues, and CPSM entries in a KIX trace table. With this transaction, you have the capability to display and modify memory. This option can be driven from the COD0 dump option as well. A third utility is EYU9XENF utility, which can be used to query the ESSS and determine what is connected to it. Slide 28, please. So when debugging a hang, the first place you want to start is to try and determine who the originating CMAS is. The tools listed on a prior page can be useful in trying to determine that. If the request was sent via a batch API program, the EYU9XENF utility can be used to find the API job and the CMAS it is connected to. For any request submitted in the local CMAS API, the WUI or Explorer task view can be used to determine the transaction that is hanging, and then you can use the MAS view via the WUI or the Managed Regions view via the Explorer to determine the CMAS that MAS is connected to. In addition, for any WUI or KIX Explorer API request, you will first need to determine the WUI server name, which can be done by matching the host name and port with the EYU PARM within that startup WUI JCL and determine the WUI server CMAS that it is connected to. And this can be done via the WUI MAS view or the Explorer Managed Regions view. Slide 29, please. Once you have determined who the originating CMAS is, you would want to log on to that CMAS and enter the COD0 transaction. You would then issue list tasks to see if there are any XLST or XDNR tasks that may be waiting out of XLSD. If there are, you can then issue the listcom command to see if there are any outstanding MALs. If there's any outbound entries to a MAS, you'll want to check that MAS for any illness. If there's any outbound entries to a sibling CMAS, you would then need to log on to that CMAS, issue the listcom command to see what outbound MALs or inbound MALs it may be waiting for, and continue with step 3 within that CMAS. Please note the task will be an XLST in that region as opposed to XDNR. Slide 30, please. Now we're going to take a look at a dump walkthrough. The setup of this environment consists of one LPAR that includes a CMAS, a WUI server, and 4 MASs. There are 2 users who have signed on via the KIX Explorer, and each has submitted a view request. The problem is that the request results have not yet returned after a certain amount of time. The documentation provided is a console dump of the CMAS, the WUI server, and one of the MASs, IYNXO. Slide 31, please. So we're going to take a look at the WUI address space first. In the KIX KE domain, we can see that we have two CWW tasks in that region, which represent our two Explorer requests that were submitted. Noting their task numbers, we can then take a look at the CPSM task verbexes to see the method flow for each task. Being that this is a MAS region connected to a CMAS, we see that each KIX task is currently waiting as shown here, where XDE1 has called XFWX to wait externally on a KIX ECB. So this flow is indicating that the MAS is waiting to be posted when the corresponding CMAS task completes. Remember, as part of the user request processing, XDNA has called XDNR in the connected CMAS to process the request. At this point, we could then move on to the CMAS address space, but let's first take a quick look at some other things we can see from the WUI. The CPSM COM verbexit can be used to see any outstanding MALs that are waiting to be processed or are currently being processed. So if you match to the bottom of that verbexit, we see there is one MASRL currently there. However, please note that for a MAS, the first CMRL in the chain is always for the heartbeat task, and it never goes away. However, this control block is useful because it will show you the time that the task got initialized, the MAS got initialized, and it will show you when the heartbeat request was started. Slide 32, please. Some additional information can also be seen from the KIX WU domain. In here, we can see any currently running and or successfully completed API requests. In this scenario, we can see R2 requests that are currently running. The first, for task 02783, is a GET request for the LiveDef resource with a context of KIX-L2 and a scope of IYNXO. The second request that is running is for task 02781, which is also a GET request, for the task resource, which has a scope of KIX-L2 and a context of KIX-L2. There currently are not any completed API requests, as indicated here. In addition to this information, we are also provided the WU anchor block. And as on slide 33, please, there are associated request blocks. When a request is submitted via the Explorer, it is shipped as a URL to the WUI server, where it is parsed and then turned into the CPSM API call. These WU request blocks represent each of those URL requests. As we can see in the first block, this represents our LiveDef request, and the second block represents the task request. Slide 34, please. So now let's take a look at the CMAS, origin CMAS, address space to see what it shows. We know we have the two requests that were submitted via the Explorer into the WUI server, and those kicked off an XDNR task within our CMAS for each task request. In the CPSM task verbexit, we can see those two XDNR tasks, and each is currently waiting in the KIX wait external method XSWX. This wait was issued out of XLSD that was called to deliver the MAL to the targets, which could be either the connected MASs or a sibling CMAS. So each MAL has been sent by XLSD to its target and is currently waiting for the response. Slide 35, please. Next, using the CPSM COM verbexit, if we match to the bottom, we can see the outstanding MAL RL or MAS RLs. If we look at the first DCLT for these MASRL chains, we can see the current count indicates how many MALs there are in the chain. In this case, there are two. So let's look at the first MASRL and expand it. Looking at the CMRL at offset 8 is the pointer to the MAL prefix, which will tell us where to run this MAL. So if we expand the MAL prefix, we can see that it has a context of KIX-L2, and a scope of IYNXO, which is where this MAL is to execute. At offset 4 into the MAL prefix is the address to the MAL proper. And the MAL proper will indicate what program is to run for this MAL. As indicated by the debug text, we can see it is to run the inquire task program. Also at offset 28, we have a queue ID, which contains the record elements for our request. In the mal prefix at offset 34, which points to the teaspoon block, which also indicates some key things such as the mal clock at offset 18, which indicates the time the mal is created, the mal state at offset 3 Charlie to indicate if it's currently scheduled or executing or in transit or something. At offset able 5 is the status of this block to let us know if it's currently in progress or if it's currently in timeout process. And also there is a mal timeout value at offset able 8, which as you can see is currently set to 0 at this point. In addition, we have a pointer at able Charlie, which points back to our mal prefix address. Slide 36, please. So moving on to the second MASRL, if we expand on it, we can see that it is a mal that is scheduled to run with a context of KICKCell 2 and a scope of IYNXO. Looking at the mal proper, we can see that the method to run is the BAS DREP GET method, BAGQ. So at this point, what do we know? We know that our two API requests were submitted via the KIX Explorer, shipped to the WUI server, and then shipped to the connected CMAS, IYNX CM01. Each request was then sent from that CMAS to its connected MAS, in this case, IYNXO, and the CMAS is currently waiting for the results to be returned. So the next step at this point would be to take a look at IYNXO and try and figure out why it has yet to respond. In this scenario, however, we know for a fact that IYNXO has been hung, and so we're not going to take a look at that because the mal has yet to actually reach that region and be processed. Instead, we're going to take a look at some other things we can pull out from documentation. Slide 37, please. There are some occasions when a dump is not available, and the only documentation you may have is a trace. And there's lots of information you can pull out from a trace as well. If you have a trace, you want to make sure you have obtained DAT level 18 tracing so we can see the API requests coming in, and kernel level 30 tracing so we can see the SSI route for the action method that will be called. So here we see our two tasks, tasks 22346 and 22348, which are processing our two API requests. On the next few slides, we're going to take a look at some of the expanded traces to see more details. Slide 38, please. So now let's take a look at the first task, 22346, and expand the second trace entry with the bug text pre-exec. Within this trace, we can see that this request is for a git command. And looking in the eye catcher, we can see that it's for the task view with a context of KICKCell 2 and a scope of KICKCell 2. If we then move down to the fourth trace entry with a debug text of death list, we can then see where this mal will actually be shipped to be processed. If this was being shipped to a CMAS, we would see a CMAS destination list indicating which CMASs would be shipped. In this case, our request was only sent to a group of MASs. In this case, there were five MASs, IYNXJ, IYNXO, IYNXWU01, IYNX34, and IYNX9. Slide 39, please. The next trace entries with the bug text exec demal will indicate how the mal was executed in each of those targets. We have five targets, but we only have four exec demal trace entries, which indicates that our mal was actually executed successfully in four of our five targets. If we look at the eye catcher within the mal prefixes for each of these trace entries, we can see which target it was successfully executed in, with the first one being for IYNXWU01. We also provide a query queue control block on these trace entries, which also indicate how many records are returned at offset Charlie and how many in the length of the maximum record at offset 1 Charlie that's returned. So if we take a look at the first exec demal, we can see that one was sent to IYNXWU01, and it returned 6 records. If we move to the next entry, which was sent to IYNX9, it returned 7 records. Slide 40, please. The third exec demal was sent to IYNX34, which also turned 7 records. And the last exact email was sent to IYNXJ, which returned 7 records as well. So at this point, we know that the task request had 5 available targets, but was only successfully sent and executed in 4 of them, again indicating the one MAS IYNXO is the problem MAS. Slide 41, please. Taking a look at our second task, again, we expand the pre-exec entry, and we can see it's a git command for the live dev view. This time it has a context of KickSale2, but it has a scope of IYNXO. So it was only directed towards the specific MAS. If we then take a look at the expanded dev list entry, we can see that the MAS destination is IYNXO, and that's where we're waiting for this live dev request to be executed. So again, indicating that IYNXO is the MAS that is either sick or having some problem, that's the next step to where you would try to figure out why it has not responded to the CMAS. Slide 42, please. Earlier, we noted the option to use the COD0 capture output, which can also show you some information in regards to capturing API requests when they are issued. And now we're going to take a look at some of the information you can pull from that output. The capture command captures the communication between an API program, including the WUI session and its connected CMAS, when an API resource table has been requested. It can also be used to capture CPSM monitor programs and a MAS when a monitor data is collected in that MAS. But we're going to take a look at the API request that is captured within the CMAS. This data is written to JES. So when you look at that output, one of the first things you note on the very first line is the type of view or table that the request was captured for. In this case, it was captured for the task view. Following that, it formats out the XLSI mal, its mal prefix, and its mal proper. And within that, you can pull out certain things, such as within the mal at offset 28, the QID, which is then expanded further below. At the very bottom, you can see where, for our QID, we have a total of hex 18 elements, or decimal 24, with a max length of hex Charlie Able 8. And following below, each element will be listed out. Slide 43, please. So let's take a look at the very first element to see what it shows. Knowing that it's for the task view, we can see in the eye catcher that this particular element is for the CONL task beginning at offset 60, and it's addressed or running in the MAS SVR0SDW0 and the plex that is running in. We can also determine the class it is associated with, DFHTCL00 at offset 58, and that it is currently running program EYU9XLEV, which is indicated at offset 98. Given this has a length of hex Charlie Able 8, this slide, along with the following 2 slides, provides all of the contents of this element. But if we were to page down further within this output, we would see the same information for each element within this output. Again, remember that we had a total of hex 18 elements, or decimal 24, which is the number of tasks that were within this plex currently active when this request was captured. Slide 44, please. So this is just showing the continuation of that record from the prior slide, slide 45. And this is the remaining data for that record. Slide 46, please. So now we're going to take a look at some type of documentation that you may want to gather depending on the type of problem you may be experiencing. If you're experiencing an API hang and you use the COD0 debugger list task option within the originating CMAS, and you don't see any XDNR task or XLST task, then most likely the problem is either within that CMAS or within the API address space. In that case, you would like to collect a dump of both regions, the complete job output of both address spaces, any correlated messages within the syslog, and the CMAS AuxTrace data sets, and provide that to support for assistance. In the second scenario, where you're experiencing a hang, If you use COD0 list task again and there's no XDNR task, and you use listcom and there's no outbound request, capture a dump of the CMAS, the complete job log, and aux trace for that CMAS for assistance. Slide 47, please. If you're experiencing a hang and COD0 list task shows there is one or more XDNR tasks currently waiting for a response, and if you see any outbound MALs within the listcom output, either the MAS is sick and needs to be resolved, or the MAS is not sick and the problem is in the CMAS or the MAS, in which case you would need to collect a dump of the CMAS and MAS along with their job logs and their raw aux trace data sets. Slide 48, please. In the fourth scenario, if you use COD0 list tasks in the originating CMAS and you do see XDNR tasks and there's also an outbound MAL within the listcom output, but you don't see any list tasks or any inbound listcom data in any of the sibling CMASs, the problem is most likely either in the originating CMAS or the immediate CMAS. In this case, we would need to determine who the immediate CMASs are, and you can use the COD0 start CPLC option to determine the path between the CMASs, and then collect a dump of all the CMASs involved along with their job logs, including EYU log and aux trace data sets for further assistance. Slide 49, please. These two scenarios are similar to 3 and 4 above, where option 5, if you use list task and do see task waiting and you have listcom MALs waiting, list tasks and inbound listcoms in any sibling CMASs, but there aren't any outbound listcom MALs in these sibling CMASs, then the same as number 3 above, only you would have to use the sibling CMAS instead of the originating CMAS when gathering the doc. And the same for option 6. If you use COD0 list task in originating CMAS and you use the outbound listcom option to see if there's any outstanding MALs in the sibling CMASs, and then issue list task and inbound listcoms within those sibling CMASs, as well as outbound listcom to any MASs in the sibling CMASs, you would then have to gather the same doc as on option 4 above, but instead of using the originating CMAS, use the sibling CMAS instead. And that would be enough documentation to try and determine where the problem is. Slide 50, please. So in summary, we have taken a look at the user requests and how they're processed along with SSI processing. We've defined what a MAL is and its associated control blocks and looked at some of the information you can pull out from those things. We've also looked at some known problems that can occur, whereas if you're requesting too much data, if the long-running task is hung on a prior API or SPI command, or if a MAS has been determined to be non-responsive. And last, we took a look at some of the tools that are available when it comes to debugging and also provided a simple scenario of how to use a dump and aux trace to try and determine where a problem may be or why a MAL was not being processed. I hope you found this information very useful. Slide 51, please. That completes our presentation. So now I'd like to turn it over to David Long.
Thank you, Shayla, Byron, and Andre for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of the mailing list. Also, if there's a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We do welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Kelly, we would like to open the lines for questions.
The first question is from Robert. Your line is open.
Thank you. First of all, it was an excellent presentation. Actually, I have two questions. Hopefully, I can get to both of them. But the first one is the overhead of the extra ConA transactions. So a few years ago when they became available, we implemented them and because we'd seen some stalling on the ConL. But at this point, I'm just kind of curious. It looks like there's a, I missed this, the new mass ALT LRT time parameter. But I've got a question regarding the overhead of the ConAs. So if we have multiple of them, let's say five, and we can see from the parameter or from the messaging at shutdown that we're only using two of them, my question is how much overhead is there to these idle ConAs sitting out there, and is that impacted any way by altering the mass ALT LRT time value?
Are you referring to overhead in regard to WLM routing or just in general?
Just in general on the regions. So if we have five of them sitting there, and we can determine from the EYU shutdown messages about the number of tasks actually in use, if we have three of them sitting idle for the lifetime of the region, in our case it's about a week long, what's the cumulative overhead of having idle ConAs sitting out there, or is there much?
I want to say off the top of my head that it wouldn't be much, but to know for certain, that's something that we'd have to look into and get back to you on, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
And then do I have time for a second question?
Sure.
Okay. The second question is we use a lot of API requests for, a lot of batch program type API requests. Several of them are utility type things that run as part of change processes. Some of them are going out to just gather information. Other things are going out to do certain actions, and some of them are monitoring tools. So for the large majority of them, the default values for the two BAT request and two online requests, those are fine for a lot of things. There are certain things where it'd be nice to have connect level timeout values. So for a batch process where we want something to complete, and if a region does happen to be busy or taking a dump at the time or doing something that's a very easy to determine reason why a timeout occurred on the region, but we still want that process to occur, it might be nice to have a longer timeout value for some of those tools. And then for monitoring tools that wake up every few seconds and check things, it might be nice for those to have those timeout faster. So in the case of a monitoring sweep that's sweeping not just 10, 15 CISs on one LPAR, but sweeping a Sysplex with multiple LPARs in multiple regions, having the knowledge that certain regions timed out and continuing very quickly to the next one is much more valuable than even collecting the data from those regions. So my question is there any plans to provide connect-level timeouts to be able to handle those unique specific situations?
Not that I'm aware of, but that's something that we as Level 2 can actually comment on. But I can actually note that and bring it up to see if that's something that could be addressed in a future release.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No further questions on the phone at this time.
Thank you, Kelly. I don't see any questions in the group chat, so at this time we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Shayla, Byron, and Andre, for presenting today.